Good morning, family. It's so good to see each of you here at Lots of Love Ministries today. You know, as I was preparing this message, I was struck by how much we all struggle with this balance, trying to earn God's love when we're hurting, yet sometimes using grace as an excuse to stay comfortable. Today, we're going to dive into what Scripture really says about this tension, and I believe the Holy Spirit has some freedom for us all. Before we begin, I'd like us all to take a deep breath. Just let go of the week behind you. Release those thoughts about what you should have done better, what you could have done differently. Let's come before our Father, just as we are. Lay your burdens down at the cross. All your failures, all your hopes, all your dreams, all your agendas, lay it down at his feet. And let's pray together. Abba, Father, we come before you today with open hearts and hungry spirits. Thank you that we can approach your throne of grace with confidence, not because of anything we've done, but because of everything Yeshua has done. Holy Spirit, we invite you to move freely among us today. Open our spiritual eyes to see truth. Open our ears to hear your voice. And Father, open our hearts to receive your love in a deeper way than ever before. Lord, for those here today who are carrying heavy burdens, who feel they've somehow failed you or fallen short, we pray your truth would set them free. And for those who've grown comfortable or complacent, we pray your love would stir them to action. We lay down our own agendas, our own understanding, and our own wisdom. Speak to us, Father. Challenge us, change us, and most of all, draw us closer to your heart. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Have you ever felt that God has left you or his favor is not upon you because things are not going the way you want or things are even going wrong in your life? Sickness is in your body, finances are being drained from your bank account. No one seems to like you anymore. I know I have. What is your response to these difficulties? I know that I tend to begin looking for things I have done to open doors to the curse or things I have failed to do. Then, as I was seeking the Lord in prayer this past week, I heard, "Not by works, lest any man boast." Thought then occurred to me, am I actually trying to earn my relationship with God? This led me to dig deeper into this verse and gain understanding. Let's explore this topic together. You see, there's something deeply ingrained in human nature that makes us want to earn everything, including God's love. When trials come, our first instinct is to often ask, "What did I do wrong?" We treat God's favor like a mathematical equation. Good works equals blessing. Bad works equals trials. But that's not really the gospel at all. Oh, I know there's the blessing and the curse verses in the Old Testament. And I do believe that those are true because they're in the Bible. God said it. But then something amazing happened. Yeshua came and he died on the cross and shed precious blood. He paid the price. And then he rose again from the dead. He gave us the Holy Spirit. When we repented and got baptized, that was our gift. And the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. He empowers us to live the law. He empowers us to do what God wants us to do. And we don't have to earn God's love because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can't do anything to earn Christ's love. You already have it. Everybody has the love of the Father. Everybody, sinner and saint. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This fundamental truth doesn't just apply to our salvation. It applies to our daily walk with God. We cannot earn our salvation, and we cannot earn God's love. Think about Job for a moment. Here was a man the Bible describes as blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. See that in the beginning of Job. Yet he suffered devastating losses. His children, his wealth, his health, his friends insisted he must have done something wrong to deserve such suffering. They were wrong. Job's trials weren't punishment. They were a testimony. Or consider Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. 3 times he pleaded with the Lord to remove it. The answer wasn't try harder or do better. Instead, God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So you feeling weak, like you can't do it? Well, then you're in a good place, because then you can put your dependence on Yeshua, who he says you can do all things through him. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So it's Yeshua operating in us and through us, not of ourselves. We don't have to be strong all the time. We don't have to do everything perfect. We just got to depend on Yeshua. When we face trials, our response often reveals what we truly believe about God's character. Are we serving a cosmic vending machine where we insert good works and expect blessings in return? I don't think so. Are we in a relationship with a loving Father whose grace is sufficient in all circumstances? Yeah. Everything we need. We sang a song with that in it. Everything we need. Every good thing comes from Father of lights above. Everything we need. James 1, 2 through 4 tells us to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Notice it doesn't say, figure out what you did wrong when trials come. Instead, it points to God's purposeful work in our lives through these challenges. So when you face a trial, we're to count it joy. Oh, yay! We are going through a trial. How many of us do that? That's kind of difficult, right? Most of us don't do that. But that's what we're supposed to do. Oh, we're going through a trial. There's an opportunity to prove that we have faith in God. There's an opportunity to show that God is real and he's faithful, and that this will be a testimony to a real and faithful God. Yay, thank you, Lord. I don't think many of us do that. No, I don't always do that. Every now and then I remember this verse and I try to do it, but let's be honest. Counting it all joy when you're going through a tough time, it's not so easy, eh? So Romans 8:28 reminds us that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This actually is my life promise. So I have to remember this too. All things, including the trials, the sickness, the financial struggles, the loneliness, all things. God isn't waiting for us to earn our way out of difficulties. He's waiting for us to trust him in the midst of them. When we try to earn God's favor through our works, were actually diminishing the power of the cross. Christ's sacrifice was complete. And he said on the cross, "It is finished," in John 19:30. You don't need to add our good works to his perfect work to deserve God's love or favor. So what should our response be when trials come? Instead of asking, "What did I do wrong?" perhaps we should ask, "Lord, what are you doing right now?" What should our response to this be? How does the Bible instruct us to act, pray during this time? And then read the Bible, or let the Holy Spirit bring to our remembrance the verses that tell us to count it all joy, that all things work together for good. Instead of trying to earn our way out of difficulty, we can rest in his grace. Instead of viewing trials as punishment, we can see them as opportunities for God's strength to be made perfect in our weakness. Amen? Remember Peter walking on water? When did he begin to sink? It wasn't when he took his eyes off his own ability. It was when he took his eyes off Jesus. When trials come, they should drive us to greater dependence on Yeshua, not to greater dependence on our own works. The beautiful truth is that God's love for you isn't based on your performance. Your trials aren't a reflection of his favor or lack thereof. They're opportunities to experience his grace in new ways, to know his strength when you're at your weakest, and to trust his character when circumstances don't make sense. So the next time you face trials, and you will face them, resist the urge to earn your way out. Instead, remember, not by works, lest anyone should boast. Rest in his grace, trust his heart, and know that his love for you isn't based on what you do, but on what he has already done. And I'm being reminded of that verse that said in Jeremiah, that his purpose for you, his plans for you are good. His plans are to give you a future and a hope. He wants to bless you, and he has blessed you. And there's that song we used to sing, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. See what the Lord has done." If when we're going through a trial, if we just stop to think about all the times that God has blessed us and how he has been faithful in the past, our faith would be lifted up, be encouraged, be built, so that we can have faith once again, trusting in his faithfulness. Amen. Count your blessings, name them one by one. There's so much to be thankful for. Now let's look at the other side of this beautiful truth. How our works demonstrate the reality of our faith and relationship with Yeshua. Because James puts it plainly, faith without works is dead. James 2:26. This isn't a contradiction to "not by works lest any man should boast." Instead, it's the natural overflow of a living faith. Think about it like this. A fruit tree doesn't strain and struggle to produce fruit to become a tree. It produces fruit because that's what a healthy living tree does. The fruit doesn't make the tree. It reveals what kind of tree it is. So when we go through a trial and we say, "Promises of God are yes and amen. All things work together for good. He is made strong in our weakness. He is faithful." And we start remembering everything. And look how he blessed me here. And look how he blessed me there. Look how he came through for me back then. And how he came for me in this situation. Then we remember all this. And that is working our faith out. Because it's doing something that builds our faith, that shows our faith, that reveals what we really believe. We start complaining and get depressed and, "Oh, God hates me. He's punishing me. Oh, what did I do wrong?" You know, that it's like that shows that we really don't know God and what he has done for us. We don't know who we are in him. We are loved and blessed child. of the Most High God. So let's bear good fruit in the trials. Yeshua himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments in John 14:15. Notice the order here is not keep my commandments so that I'll love you. It's if you love me, the love comes first and the obedience follows. So we love him because he first loved us. His love came first, then we return that love, and out of that love, we do what he says. Because we want to please him. And we want others to know him. And everything he leads us to do will lift up his name and draw men unto him. His kingdom come, his will be done in us and through us. Amen. Our works aren't the root of our relationship with God. They're the fruit. Let's bear good fruit. Consider the story of Martha and Mary in Luke 10:38-42. Martha was busy with much serving, lots of works, while Mary sat at Yeshua's feet. When Martha complained, Yeshua didn't condemn her service. Instead, he pointed out that Mary had chosen the better part, relationship first. The work should flow from the place of intimate connection. It's like a husband and a wife. They please each other because they love each other. At least that's the way it should work. Especially when you're dating at first and, you want to marry that person, you will do anything and everything in your power to make them happy because you love them. You shouldn't be making them love you by your actions. It shouldn't be in your thoughts that I'm going to do this so they will love me. But they should already love you. If that person doesn't love you, then that's not the one for you. But everything should be coming out of your love for them. I love you. Therefore, I want to bless you. I want to take you to dinner. I want to buy you this gift. If they like flowers, you want to give them flowers. If they like, after you're married, if they like a massage, give them a massage. If they like you to cook, cook. If they like you to help them with the housework, you help them with the housework. Because you love them and you want to help them and you want to bless them. And that builds relationship and you guys work together, loving each other and helping each other and doing good things for each other because you love each other. Amen? You're not trying to earn their love. You're trying to earn your spouse's love by doing stuff for them. You might be on a rocky ground because that's not how it's supposed to work. You love each other. Then out of that love, you do the good things, the good works. This is why Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:10, right after the famous not by works passage, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you catch that? The same passage that tells us we're not saved by works also tells us we're saved for works. We're not saved by works, but we're saved for works. You got that? That's important to understand and grasp. So what does this look like practically? You know, I always like to find a way to apply the word so that you know how to live the word. I don't want to just encourage you with a message that gives you the, feel-good goosebumps. Oh, that was a good message. That sounded good. That made me feel good. No, let's find a way to apply it to our lives, to live it. When we truly understand and rest in Yeshua's love, our works become a joyful response rather than a burdensome obligation. Like a marriage, like I said, when you're secure in your spouse's love, you don't do kind things to earn their love. You do them because you love them and want to express that love. This is why David wrote, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart, in Psalms 48. He wasn't checking boxes on a religious to-do list. He was expressing his love for God through joyful obedience. Consider how Yeshua describes our relationship with him in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Notice the order. First abiding, then fruit. We don't bear fruit to become connected to the vine. We bear fruit because we are connected to the vine. So what are these works that we should naturally flow from our faith? Prayer becomes not a duty, but a desire to spend time with our beloved Father. Bible study becomes not a chore, but an eagerness to know his heart better. Serving others becomes not a burden, but a joy in sharing his love. Giving becomes not an obligation, but a privilege participating in his kingdom work. Worship becomes not a routine, but a natural response to his goodness. Remember the woman who washed Yeshua's feet with her tears and dried them with her hair? Yeshua said of her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Luke 7:47. Extravagant act of service wasn't to earn forgiveness. It was her response to having been forgiven. This is the beautiful balance of the gospel. We are completely secure in Yeshua's finished work. Yet we're also called to active participation in his kingdom. It's not either or, it's both and. We can rest in his love while working for his kingdom. We can receive his blessings while blessing others. We can be secure in our salvation while serving sacrificially. When trials come, and they will, we don't need to earn our way out of them. But neither should we be passive. Instead, we can ask, Father, how can I demonstrate my trust in you through this situation? How can my response to this trial glorify you? Let me leave you with this thought. The same grace that saves us also empowers us to serve. The same love that accepts us also activates us. The same Spirit that seals us also sends us. We don't work for God's love. We work from God's love. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for the times we tried to earn what you truly give. Help us to rest in your love, especially during trials. Teach us to trust your heart when we can't trace your hand. Thank you for your love isn't based on our performance, but on your character. Father, thank you for your grace that both saves and empowers us. Help us to rest securely in your love while actively expressing our love for you through our works. May our service flow not from obligation, but from grateful hearts transformed by your grace. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well, I hope you were as encouraged by this message as I was. This week, as you rest in his love while showing your love for him through your good works, may there be shalom in your home.